Recordings have started.
Great, thank you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the CCWG new GTLD auction proceeds call held on Thursday, the 26th of July, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. And I know we have nobody only on the audio bridge, so I'd like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. And please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. And with this, I'll turn it over to Erica Mann. You may begin.
Thank you so much, Julie, and welcome to everyone. I hope you're still enjoying the summertime wherever you are, and hopefully you're not suffering as much as many of us doing in a moment in Europe. It's extremely hot. That's why I'm saying this. I have one point before I come to the second point, and this is concerning Wanda. As you know well, Wanda's son and Jorge's son died recently, actually last week, and I was wondering if from this group, if you would agree if we would send them together. We don't need to collect the names. I will just do it on behalf of our group. Send a card and some flowers to them. In case flowers are not appropriate in the Latin American context, I would love to hear this from colleagues from this group who are from Latin America. But otherwise, I would just love to send both something from our side. I'm pretty sure you all agree, but I just wanted to hear if you are fine with this. I'm seeing Shua in the chat room, and we don't have to wait. I don't have to wait to hear back from you now, but just put this in the chat room, and I will watch it. And in case you believe it's not appropriate, just please let me know. But otherwise, I would love us to do this. Okay, so then let's come to point two and just continue in the chat room. In point two, do we have any update concerning the conflict of interest declaration? Anybody who wants to make a comment, please feel free to do so now. Okay, if that's not the case, then let's move to point three. This is a discussion of next step on outstanding question. And the last call, we had a discussion about how we can approach these outstanding questions, which we still have to find a good approach and find a good solution. And we then discussed and decided to create a very small subgroup. I couldn't be on the subgroup because the call then was arranged on days where I couldn't join the call, so I'm not able to summarize the questions which were forwarded to you and the approaches, so you have seen them already by email, and I would love to ask Emily if she would be so kind just to explain briefly the approach selected by the small group and the topics which we will have to discuss in our group and the best solution forward to it. Marika can't be with us today. She's on holiday, and I'm very grateful for Emily to step into this and to take this on. Emily, please be so kind and just introduce the topic and explain the documents which were sent to us by emails and how we shall take this. The group is considering how to take this forward. Please.
Thank you, Erica. This is Emily Barabas from staff. So just to take one step back, to cover what we did on the last call with respect to this. So from a number of different channels, it's become clear that there are still some questions that this group has that could use some additional thoughts, some additional expertise and input. And staff on the last call mentioned that it began consolidating some of these questions that came up, both when we were trying to come up with answers to the charter question from the perspective of the different mechanisms, as well as looking at any gaps in the input that we received from experts, and also some follow-up questions that arose out of Sarah Berg's original input when she produced that document with sort of an overview of each of the mechanisms from her perspective, some of the different elements of that. on that last call, we determined that there was some additional work to do to look at those questions, to sort them, to think about who might be the appropriate person to answer those questions. And we got a small group of people together to look at that set of questions and think about possible next steps. Should they be things that are just discussed in the group? Should they be things that are referred for external expertise? Should they be questions that ICANN.org might be able to provide additional insight on? And so that was the task of the small group, was just to think through some of that. So we started to do that sorting exercise, and then staff sort of took a next step after that and trying to refine the questions a bit. So what we discovered is that a lot of these questions have different elements, and different expertise might be appropriate to address different elements of those. So we tried to break the questions down a little bit and think about the target audiences and how to frame them so we can get the most out of the responses from external resources, from ICANN.org, from the board, and so forth. And also think about, you know, what is the right level of specificity to be asking these questions so that we can reach the end goals of the CCWG and kind of get to that report that we're trying to reach. So this document you see now, which was shared on Tuesday, is the latest iteration of that with staff's attempts to sort of sift through those questions a little bit more. We've done a little bit more work trying to identify the sort of primary targets. And we also discovered that one of the things that might be useful to do is to sort of do this in waves. So we have a couple of resources that are initially on hand for us, and that's ICANN.org and Sarah Berg, who's sort of already engaged. And so one of the proposals that we have is to kind of take a look at three initial chunks of questions. The first would be ones that the CCWG might immediately have input on or might be able to answer already. The second chunk is questions for the ICANN.org to potentially provide input on. And then the third chunk of questions, potentially, if the group agrees with this approach, is questions that need expertise. The idea is that maybe we initially send them to Sarah Berg, see what she comes back with. And actually, I'll unsync the document so you can all scroll through. And then to the extent that additional expertise, be it legal or other consulting expertise, is needed beyond that, that then we'd have a more targeted list and sort of understand a little bit better where the additional gaps are. So that's the suggested approach. And I think on the call today, you know, we can go through those first questions for CCWG discussion and see if there might be volunteers who might be able to take a stab at drafting responses, or if those are things we should just discuss as a group a bit. And then if there's time, we can go through some of those questions that we want to refer out, or we can just give people a little bit more time to look at those offline. And then ideally, we can get some initial responses before the next call so we can discuss some of those responses. So I hope that's helpful background. And I think Lou also wanted to talk a little bit about one of the top issues that's been coming up on the mailing list, which is related to sanctions. And I know that there's been some pretty heated discussion on that topic. And we were hoping to have Sam Eisner from ICANN staff on the call to speak a bit more about regulations and laws impacting sanctions and decisions related to that. Unfortunately, she has a conflict for this call and would love to do that on the next call. So if there's an opportunity to have those conversations on the next call, that would be ideal so that she can speak to some of the work that's already been done and some of the research that's already been done, specifically with respect to some of the conversations that the Workstream 2 jurisdiction group had. So, Erica, I know you wanted to talk a little bit more about that, so maybe I'll pass it back to you to touch on that. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you so much for the introduction, Emily. And I see that some of the members of the small group have joined now. I wonder, would you love to maybe mention something and talk about the group you have done, or if the I'm sure that Emily Kammert covered your full work, but maybe there's something you would love to add and say in addition to what Emily just covered. Just watching the somebody is raising their hand or is making a comment. Caboose is saying he made a comment, a general comment. I will look at this, Caboose. I just returned from a long from a long trip I had, and I had to look into family matters. So I was a little bit disconnected from our connection and from the emails coming in, but I couldn't really respond to it. But I had a quite serious family matter to care about, so apologies for this. I will look into the emails, and if I find it appropriate to answer at this late stage, I will do. And I will come back to the point Emily raised as her last one concerning the sanctions, but I just want to hear first, is there something the group members from the small group who worked on the documents, which I find, by the way, excellent done and really extremely helpful. Anybody who wants to make an additional comment or raise an additional question? Okay, this seems to be not the case. Then let's look at the way, before we come to the complicated topic about sanctions, and I agree, by the way, with Emily, I believe we should discuss this when Sam is with us, but we might want to have a first discussion because I know that for some of our members it is a burning topic. So it would be good to have a short exchange so that everybody can raise their concern, and then we have a better understanding between the whole group what the discussion is actually about, and then we can actually wait to find a solution to it once we have some on our call, which would be hopefully for our next call. But so the point is what the document is and the way. Just give me a second. I have somebody coming in the room. Do you have to change something?
No, I'm just thinking.
Okay, that's fine. So the point is that the subgroup recommends to have questions which are answered either by us, and we should do this today so that we have this from the table, which are questions to the CCWG to answer. And there are only four questions, so I believe we are probably able to answer these questions today. And then there's a long list of questions which are recommended to be sent to ICANN, which primarily will be go to the legal department, and to some degree will have to be answered by finance. There's one question which goes to the board, and then there's a long list which the group is recommending to be sent first to Sarah Burke, because she now was working with us and she understands pretty well our environment, and since she's advising as an independent advisor, I can support that she supports us as well. So it will go first to her, and then the if I understood this right, the recommendation is that afterwards, after we receive her reply, we will evaluate the reply, and if we then have further questions, we believe these are so questions that we want to have further information, they will then go to other external experts or to outside legal counsel. So that's the basic idea. And I just get a quick understanding from all of you. Are you fine with this idea? And will you, can you support it? Emily, just a quick question. Did you discuss as well how much time we will need for the whole group now to evaluate the methodology and the way you have targeted different groups with different questions, or can we have you discussed this, or can we assume that we can do this already today, or do we want to leave the replies we can receive from members, do we want to leave the window open for another week or for another 2 weeks? Have you discussed it?
Thanks, Erica. This is Emily Barbas from staff. We haven't yet discussed it. I think it partly depends on the initial response of the group. If we feel like it's something that we're generally comfortable with and feel comfortable sending it out relatively soon, the advantage of that, so for example, if we left it open till this time on Monday, we could potentially get responses pretty quickly from Sarah and ICANN.org as an initial sort of wave of responses, and potentially go over that on the next call. If everyone feels that they need more time to think about this approach, to think about the questions, to think about the sorting, then obviously that will push us back a bit further. So it's somewhat up to the group, you know, their level of comfort and how much time people need to review. But the, you know, if we want to move quickly, I would recommend giving a few more days for people to take a look at this and then seeing if we might be able to get some initial feedback to help us move forward by the next call. Thanks.
This is Erica. Thank you so much, Emily. I would actually appreciate it if we can move fast, because our deadline, if we want to come out 3 weeks ahead of the Barcelona ICANN meeting, it's pretty tight, so we don't want to wait too long. And these are questions, so we are obviously able to send them to cross-reference the question and the answers we receive after we have received the reply. So it's not that the story is over once we have received a reply from a particular organization or person. So can I just get a general okay from the group that we, in principle, that some of the topics which we will discuss today, that we can we wait until Monday, until we all have a bit more time to review the document which we have received, which was sent to us by Emily and which this small group worked on, and then on Monday or latest on Tuesday, the leadership will confirm with Emily that we move forward and we send this to the group identify and the people identified on this list. Can we agree on this? Perfect. I don't see anybody rejecting it. So then before we come to the sanction topic, I would love just to have a quick view about the first question, the first four questions, which are the group recommends that the CCWG actually, that we do answer them. And Emily, can you maybe just guide us through these four questions and maybe read them as well so that everybody can hear it? And if you allow us to, oh, you did in the meantime. So you are, in the meantime, you hopefully all are able to screen your screen and so you can see the text. I wasn't able to do it until now. Thank you for whoever changed it. Emily, please.
Thanks, Erica. This is Emily Barabas from staff again. And just to note that for those who are more comfortable working with Google Docs, you can find in the agenda pod the link to Google Docs, to the Google Docs version of this document. And you're welcome to insert comments if you'd prefer to comment in that way, or you can just follow along in the room here. So these are four questions that came up through the different sort of channels that I mentioned earlier. And they're questions that it seems like, you know, we can have some initial discussion on now and might be able to come up with some draft answers for. And the first one I think is maybe a good one for us to discuss as we work towards the initial report. And this is a question about what are we aiming at, ideally? Are we hoping to get things down where we agree on a single mechanism to recommend in the initial report? Or is it better for all of the mechanisms to be represented with either a ranking system or just pros and cons for additional community input? So I don't know if there are initial thoughts on that, but maybe we can have a short discussion about that and what the group thinks. Thanks.
Yes, thank you, Emily. This is Erica. I believe you received one reply from Wanda, a written reply, where she's saying, and I might be wrong, but this is what I remember she said, so she's in favor of a ranking indication. I see Marilyn raising her hand. Marilyn, please.
Thanks. I am in favor of a ranking, but I think we really need to eliminate option four. I haven't seen everything I've seen, including from the retained consultant, indicates that that's not really a feasible approach. My own experience with working with such entities, they have their own boards, they have their own mission, modifying it to incorporate the requirements we're posing does not seem feasible. So I prefer myself I strongly prefer option 2 and 3, but I could support examining options 1, 2, and 3. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilyn. This is Erica. Somebody else who wants to make a comment concerning this point? Again, we are talking about the question 1, which is addressed to our group, the small group which worked on this, recommends that we are approaching and making a recommendation concerning the question 1 single mechanism, which we are recommending in the initial report, or ranking indication. And Marilyn is now saying her recommendation to eliminate 4, which would be to externalize the funds to an outside entity. So can I please get some more replies just to have a first indication?
Sorry, Erica, but it's Marilyn. Can I just be clear? I didn't oppose an outside entity, which is 3. I opposed an outside entity with pre-existing mission and requirements. I just want to be clear what my concern was.
Yeah, understood. Thank you so much. Apologies for not being very clear. Totally agree. So I'm watching the chat room. Caroline is saying that the Sarah recommendation was that the mechanism 4 would be a variation of mechanism 2. Okay, we don't, not viable. We should at least do a ranking. John is saying this. Nadia, I'm not totally sure what you are saying. You may want to modify or explain your point. I don't understand this completely. John is supporting Marilyn. Okay, fine. So we all, I believe, when I watch here, we all agree on a ranking, and which would indicate that we favor number 1 as the strongest support we give, and then the second would be the second option, and the third would be the third option. The only thing we now have to talk about is, do we exclude the fourth option? I would be fine with this too. We don't have to do it today. We can do this and keep this question open until Monday, but it would be nice if we have an understanding between us how we want to deal with the fourth mechanism. Caboose is the only one I saw in the moment that Caboose is saying ranking would be difficult. Caboose, you may want to explain this either now in the chat room, or I see you're raising your hand, or in the comments you can send to us until next week. Caroline is recommending a survey. We can do a survey too, but I believe we have a pretty good understanding already now. So let me go to Hadia and then to Caboose. Hadia, please.
I actually don't know why we should actually eliminate any of the options, even if we find that we won't actually go with it, because if we do ranking and we all agree that number 4 is not where to go, it will be ranked with a least priority, and it won't be considered anyway. So why do we need to eliminate it from the very beginning? Why don't we just rank our preferences as 1, 2, 3, 4, and definitely the one with the least priority won't be considered? So I don't know what's the benefit of eliminating it from the very beginning. We reach the same conclusion anyway.
Yeah, I mean, Marilyn can talk about it. This is Erica herself, but my point would be, if you have something included which you definitely don't consider, it is always difficult for public comments then to point, why do you still have it there? If you don't even consider it as a serious option any longer, we can, of course, make the point, and should do so because we had this debated. So we should make the point in the public, during the public comment period and in the recommendation. We should talk about it, that we had it in our list of mechanisms, but then we came to the conclusion to eliminate it as a serious option. So there are different ways in doing it. I'm fine with both, but I want to have your answers to it. Caboose, please.
Yes, I'm sorry. I don't know what you want to get from the ranking to opt for something among the four options, and having no clear criteria, you should base yourself on the advantage and disadvantage. It is a very difficult job. I have been involved in this issue on other matters, and always difficult to make a judgment, taking into account advantage and disadvantage and ranking and so on and so forth. It is on one hand. On the other hand, you cannot continue forever having options. At some time, you have to decide. This procedure or this process of Oxford is now 1 year and a half continuing and so on and so forth. We are going too much in detail. We are scrutinizing many, many things. It is not necessary to go too much in detail of the situation. In the new GTLD, we are discussing that how we reduce the amount of the issue that we go to any type of auction, maybe reduce to the minimum, because we are going to eliminate issues which were the origin of this auction. I don't know how much detail you want to go. So I suggest that perhaps we try to shorten all of these discussions and all of these details. Unless people really want to talk to each other, there's no problem. You want to talk, but you want to be effective. You have to reduce the amount of all these details and go to some sort of discussions to decide on something as soon as possible, but not continue. Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I've seen Marilyn here. Marilyn, you withdraw from your raised your hand, and then it was gone.
No, thanks, it's Miriam. I just wanted to clarify, you know, we need to remember that at least for those of us who are appointed as members, we're expected to winnow down the choices, examine the expert advice, raise expert questions, and put forward something that is understandable. Because when we go out for public comment, we have to be clear about what we're proposing. And if we're just open-ended, I will just say I don't feel like the CCWG is doing our job. So the reason I proposed that we move option four to the side is because of the discussion we've had so far and the recognition also by the independent consultant that independent groups would have to make major changes in order to become the distribution mechanism. I understand others may want to keep everything open, but I just do appeal to us to remember we're supposed to be putting something out from the CCWG that others can understand without devoting the huge amount of hours we have to the discussion, the investigation, and the examination. Thanks.
Thank you, Marilyn. Hadia, do you want to come back? Is this in your hand or an old hand?
I just wanted to say that I personally don't support option number four, and it's actually most of this group or no one in this group really supports option number four. If there is no one to defend it, then yeah, there's no reason to have it. I thought only keep it if some people within our group actually want it and can defend it. But this is not the case, so yes, let's go and eliminate it.
Thank you so much. So I do have a feeling that most agree that it's good to eliminate option four. We still will have to talk about it because it played a role in our discussion. So once we come to the recommendation, we will have to mention it somewhere. I'm not recommending we make the determination today, but we give us all time to reflect upon it. Shall we eliminate it and shall we not discuss it any further? It will definitely lighten our consideration and the questions which we will have to, and the replies we need to get from internal and from external experts. So it will make the work a bit easier. I would agree upon this. I think it's a good idea to eliminate whatever is possible, but I understand if some others want to keep number four in the list of mechanisms and would then rank it and keep it as number four in the list and would give the explanation once we make the public recommendation why we keep it as number four. So we have two options, either eliminate it now or keep it in the ranking. So, Emily, the first understanding I have from this discussion is that definitely the option ranking is preferred. And the second is that we have a discussion about mechanism four with the very likelihood that we will already eliminate the point four. To Kavu's point, Kavu, we need to have this discussion. I understand there comes a time when we need to eliminate as much as possible topics from our discussion, and we are very close, as you can see, from this debate today, so I hope you will be able to support us here. And moving to the next question, then, if there's no other topic related to this one, Emily, please, the second question, which is recommended to be dealt with by the CCWG group.
Thanks, Erica. This is Emily Barabas from staff. And I just wanted to note on that first question, that's really helpful input and that helps us think about where we're headed a bit. And the idea of potentially identifying some pros and cons is not mutually exclusive with the idea of ranking. So it may be the case that as input comes in from experts and from ICANN.org and so forth, that it might be helpful to use that input to identify some pros and cons of the different models, so that they're easier to compare as we go through the ranking exercise. So that's just something to think about a bit more. We don't need to answer that now, just as we don't need to eliminate any options now, but it does help us target the next steps. So the second question on this list to discuss is whether any additional work is needed with respect to Charter Question 5, which focuses on defining goals and objectives for that the fund should support. So noting that quite a lot of work has already been done here and quite a lot of discussion has taken place, for example, the development of the preamble, the list of examples that members spent quite a lot of time working on, as well as preliminary agreement B, which was about objectives. The question here is, at this point, is there additional work that's needed or have we wrapped up and completed that work for the purposes of the initial report? I'll pass it back to you, Erica. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Emily. So what do you believe? Do we need to do some more work here, or are we fine with the work which we have done so far? Keep in mind the preamble, it's still it's a good document. It has some vagueness, and we had a long discussion about it, and so there might be some further work needed when we come in actually drafting the recommendation, or we keep it as it is, give it to public comment, and then see what kind of response we receive. The list of examples is the list. I don't believe there's anything we need to do any further. Please remind me, Emily, about the preliminary agreement concerning B and point B. Would you please be so kind just to remind me about this one, what this was?
Sure, Erica. This is Emily from staff. So on the wiki, we have a series of preliminary recommendations related to the charter questions. And I'm just pulling up now the exact language. But we have a couple of preliminary agreements there, and one of them is specifically about high-level objectives for the group. Here it is. The preliminary agreement reads, specific objectives of new GTLD auction proceeds fund allocation are benefit the development, distribution, evolution, and structures slash projects that support the internet's unique identifier systems, benefit capacity building and underserved populations, and benefit the open internet, noting that the definition of open internet is subject to a separate conversation. New GTLD auction proceeds are expected to be allocated in a manner consistent with ICANN's mission. And I'm going to just drop the link to that page so that people can read that as well.
This is Erica. Thank you, Emily. I give us a few minutes maybe to open the link and to have a quick look at it. I believe that's actually a discussion which we might want to postpone because we all will need a little bit more time really to reflect upon this and just to get a better understanding. Are there additional points which we want to capture in defining goals and objectives? Or have we captured them all? So we will need a little bit more time. I hope we can do this. Everybody has the time to do this maybe until Monday next week as well, just to review it quickly. I don't think so. There's a lot of work needed, but I must admit myself, I would love to have some time myself to review it. And I'm pretty sure this is true for all of you. So can we have an initial discussion about question two, or shall we postpone the question and deal with it later? Sylvia is saying agree to wrap up the work on those two points. It may not be perfect, but it really captures the spirit of these long deliberations. Adia and Carolina are typing. Adia postpone. Carolina is supporting Sylvia. So I recommend we all review this and we take time until next week, Monday, and we wait what we receive from you. But in principle, I agree with Sylvia. It would be good to wrap up this this work on the point second, so that we can conclude this as well, and then we still have time once we draft a recommendation and we receive comments back from the public, we will have to review it anyhow again. Okay, so Emily, I recommend that we, when we send the email out, we are so kind to point out that we will have all this time until next week, Monday, to send comments in, and if you would be so kind in to put the link in the email as well so that everybody can review the preliminary agreement, which I mentioned here as the second point in the list. Can we do this?
Hi, Erica. This is Emily Barabas from SAF. We can definitely do that. And if people need more time to think about these four questions, that's okay. So the Monday deadline we were talking about is really just to get the questions out to other groups so that we can get a response quickly. But if people want till, you know, midweek next week to think about this more or longer, that's okay too. And it might also be helpful if we have volunteers who might be wanting to step forward and take a stab at looking at the comments that we receive and maybe drafting up a response of whether this is something we need more work on or not. I don't know if we have any volunteers up front. If not, we can just go with the comment approach, but it's always helpful to have a point person who is particularly excited about this question and might want to attempt to answer it. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Emily, for this recommendation. My understanding is that we, over summertime, we are all a little bit overburdened with work, and many colleagues here in this group are engaged in many different ICANN discussions, which are quite complex and complicated sometimes, so I don't want to burden people more than necessary. So let's take them midweek next week just to get an understanding between us, and then hopefully we can, in our next call, we can come to a conclusion concerning this topic and take point one and point two from our agenda. Question three, Emily, back to you.
Thanks, Erica. This is Emily Barabas from SAF. So the third question that we might discuss a little bit today and might want some comments on the list with as well is, what does success look like for this program? Is it helpful to answer that to help us sort of get to where we want to be for the initial report? And a slightly more specific question, are there metrics that should be tracked and reported upon on a regular basis, possibly as part of a regular review of the mechanism? And noting that Vanda submitted some comments in response to that question where she broke down a few of the program elements that we might want to think about as we develop metrics. So I encourage everyone, I won't read it out fully, but I encourage everyone to take a look at that comment. And I'll turn it back over to you, Erica.
Thank you, Emily. Anybody who wants to make a recommendation concerning this topic? If you remember, it was particular the external expert which we had on our call, and I remember in particular Sarah Verhoeghe from the European Investment Bank as well, and probably others too, who made a point strong that it's extremely important not just to define goals, but to define as well the understanding about how we would define success. Now, since our mission statement is framing to a large degree the funding environment and what can be funded and can't be funded, success might be limited to some degree, at least in my understanding, and it will be extremely maybe difficult to define what success means. Take one example, which I'm sure you all are approached about as well, and I'm approached about all the time. One example, which is pretty easy, let's assume a group defines a consortia concerning the root server update, and they would come to us, and the outcome of the work would be successful and would be ensure that there's a more stable, and even more stable and a more secure and safe root zone environment, probably the group would call this a success, and the expert who would evaluate the project would probably support their understanding about what success means. But I would assume that's a quite long time until such a consortia is built and a root zone update is done. I don't know how many years they would need, but it's probably not a short process. But certainly success will be defined. If you look into different other examples which we have identified, training purposes, success might be harder definable. So I wonder how we want to approach this question. I just gave you two examples, but there are of course many more. So how do we want to define success? And do we want to define it? Marilyn, please. Marilyn, you may be on mute.
Okay. Thank you, Erica. It's Marilyn. I appreciate this question. I appreciate your two examples. I think that the answer to the question is we may want to provide a requirement that metrics be established and tracked, but recognize that different metrics would be needed based on the kinds of grants awarded. So I'm going to add a third example to the two excellent examples you provided. Hypothetically, if we provided small grants for engagement by participants from different parts of the stakeholder community to engage in the IETF, the ISOC meetings, the RAR meetings, ICANN meetings themselves, those metrics might be based on existing examples of metrics that the entity has already established. So just to give an example, ISOC probably has metrics for its ambassador program, as an example. IGF Support Association has metrics for the small grants to the NRI. So it could be that the metrics, yes, we require metrics, but if it's a small grant of under, say, 10,000 or something of that nature, the metrics are commensurate with the limited amount of funding that's being given versus when the grant is a couple of hundred thousand or more and it extends over multiple years and has multiple moving parts.
Thank you, Marilyn. It's Erica on the call. I agree with you. I would approach the topic in a similar way. I think, and this helps us already, I believe, the discussion we are having here. So the first approach would be in saying different sizes of projects and the nature of how projects are defined will determine to some degree the definition of success. If there's a clear, tangible outcome which is needed, like in the case of the RootZone server update, that would be tangible, and either the experts and those who are delivering the product, they can judge it's a success or it isn't a success. And even failure might be, in some cases, a success. If you can't, in certain environment, if you can't achieve your goal, it's not always a failure. So one has to be careful. But yes, in small grants which are giving to less tangible outcomes, it will be much harder, and we need to find an appropriate way in defining success and in then, of course, defining the matrix which then will support and second the project. So they probably go hand in hand. Sylvia, please. I see you are raising your hand.
Thank you, Erica. Hope you can hear me. Well, it's Sylvia here for the record. From experience, I guess I will make two comments. One, first, is that being a new distribution mechanism, one of the measures of success is considered is how the number of applications received, how aligned are those with the objectives initially planned. So that means the mechanism is actually responding to what the community was needing in some way. So that can be done through the analysis of the application process. And for that, the metrics can be very simple. Or as simple as the application process itself, or as complicated as the application process itself. Then, for when projects are implemented, I think that what Marilyn is mentioning is very, very important. Also, not only in terms of the size or the amount of the grant received, but also in terms of how long the implementation period is. There could be projects that are cheap or expensive, but that are manageable and done in 6 months, and you can review 6 months later, and you can see what they achieve. And others that might take 3 or 5 or even more, even longer. So I think it's important to consider that. But at the same time, it's also important to consider that the program will need to have some core really basic metrics where projects that are apples can be compared with projects that are about pears. Those comparisons can be done basically on, you know, if they, as Nadira mentioned on the chat, like if the deliverables match the objectives that they presented, if they completed on time and on budget, you know, things like that. And then based on that, try to capture the stories or the lessons or the experiences from the people that were behind the projects. More and more through the grant investment and grants mechanisms, what you see is that what people are valuing more is their individual experiences. So I think there are like different phases for the collection of that data and to define what success will look like and have periods of reflection to actually check on those and see how that the reality of the operations of the program match that initial measure of success. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. It's Erica on the call. Nadira is adding that after implementation, there's a need to check the project against the project deliverables. Yes, and it depends on the timing. There's a lot of support for what Sylvia just said. And so I think we have an understanding and an agreement how we want to deal with this question. So first, we agree that it depends on the project type, and then the matrix need to reflect upon the project time, the size, and the timing, etc. I don't believe we are not required to set up the matrix itself. We only are there to make recommendations how such a matrix, what kind of topics shall be included in such a matrix, and how success shall be defined. So I think we have already some good points. But again, we have time until I would love us really, for all of these questions which are related to us, thinking about it. Let us give time until maybe Friday next week. We then, Emily, we then still have time enough, and Ching in the leadership group to review this and to prepare it for our next week's call. So let us give a whole week and receiving comments back. Otherwise, we already have some good points which we can embed in our work for next week. So let us move to the last question, which is the question for Emily, please.
Thanks, Erica. This is Emily Barabas from SAF. And the final question for us to discuss today and to reflect on is about overhead. And this was Charter Question 8 that specifically speaks to this. And as staff tried to do an initial draft of responding to this charter question from the perspective of the different mechanisms, we noted that there were quite a lot of views expressed about some of the specifics of overhead, some percentages mentioned and so forth, which is potentially a bit more specific and a bit more implementation oriented than we need to be initially. So taking a step back and hoping to get some feedback on higher level principles or guiding ideas that can help determine the appropriate level of overhead under each of the mechanisms. So if people have initial thoughts, that would be great. If people feel like this is something that we need additional input on before we can talk about further, that's also fine. But input on either side is very helpful. Thanks.
Adia, do you want to comment on this question, or is this an old hand?
Yes, I would like to comment. I just think that it is very difficult to define principles without knowing the mechanism, because definitely and without any doubt, the overhead depends directly on the mechanism chosen. So I don't see how we can do this without actually defining the mechanism. Thank you.
This is Erica. I think the question is only, I was like you, I was responding internally like you, we can't do this, but actually, remember, we had discussions about this before, so this is only to determine the principles. And it's only a question, are there actually principles which can apply in determining the level of overhead? Again, take for example, you have $200 million, and you only grant money to small projects. Then, of course, automatically, I would assume the overhead, the administrative overhead, will increase drastically. So, if you have smaller, yes, you have, and smaller but bigger and longer running project with a more stable environment, yes, there needs to be more evaluation if the projects are on time, et cetera, et cetera. But it's a much more predictable and stable environment you can deal with. So there are certain principles which we might be able to recommend. Like we could say, for example, we like to limit, I don't know, I'm trying to find an example which is working for a principle. I mean, a principle could be, for example, if we would say in general terms, it shall be cost effective. It doesn't say much, but at least it's an indication for future evaluators what we mean or what we might mean. So we could say it shall be cost effective. It should allow to be concluded within the estimated time period. So there may be certain we can find, but if you believe it's not needed and think about it, we can drop this point if we believe it's not actually justifiable, this fourth point. Okay.
Erica, as I see it, cost effective, concluded within estimated time frame, all these things go actually without saying. And but the two most important elements here, which are the mechanisms and also the process, those are the ones that could guide to principles and both of these are not actually possible for us to know, because actually we don't say, for example, that we are only going to fund big projects or small projects or projects concluded within certain time frame. So it's, in my opinion, it's very difficult to put principles now. And if we do put some principles, those are the principles that actually go without saying. That's my opinion.
Yeah. This is Erica. In principle, I agree with you, but I have some thinking about it. And I mean, I worked in many funds, so big and large and small and non-for-profit and professional. Actually, the effective and the timely, in each project was always a concern. Of course, you have to define then on the implementation level what cost effectiveness actually means in practical terms. But you always have projects which are underestimating the cost or overestimating and are creating difficulties for the administration, therefore. But I agree with you. I'm happy to drop it. I mean, I have no stake at this. So we can, let's all take a little bit of time. On this one, we agreed to have time definitely until next week, and then we will conclude the discussion about this topic at our next call in 2 weeks' time. I think we can get this from our agenda and have it done. But Sylvia, please, I see you here.
Thank you, Erica. I think that on the point on the overhead, it's important that as the group was leaning towards, if I remember correctly, the scenario number one. I think it's very important to keep that the percentage or an indication that the group supports that the bigger amount of the larger amount of funds is distributed to the community and not spent on operational administration issues. So cost effective could be 50-50, let's say. But then, I don't know, $100 million to run $100 million might be too much. So in making some comments that we made in the past when we discussed the issues around overhead and talked about how a bank, if I'm not mistaken, was talking about just 1% overhead, but it was a very, very large amount that they were managing. So it kind of all depends, but to just have an indication that it is the desire or the interest of this group to recommend that the larger amount possible of funds gets distributed out of the auction pool and not spent in overhead as a matter of supporting internet development across the world and the objectives of that was discussed before. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sylvia. This is Erica. You actually raised a good point, which makes maybe we need to maybe reflect upon this point in different ways, because it's true, point four will apply totally different depending on the mechanism. So for if you have it, if the future mechanism will be in-house in ICANN, the question, of course, of accountability and cross-financing between different units might become an issue. So we just maybe shall keep this in mind, that this question becomes more concrete once we start talking about a concrete mechanism instead of an abstract way. So we leave this open until next week, Friday, as well, and hopefully then in 2 weeks' time we can conclude the discussion about these 4 points. So I would love to come now to the discussion which we, Emily, indicated at the beginning about the question, what is actually how can we finance and can we a project possible to be financed in case sanctions, government sanctions apply to the country where either a poor project shall be executed or somebody from this country is requesting support. And we had a quite lively discussion by email. I don't think so. We want to have this discussion when Sam is there. We just want to have a short exchange now so that everybody who maybe was not able to watch email and was not able to understand completely the context where the different people who are argued differently were coming from. I just want to have a short exchange here. I think we can limit it maybe to 10 minutes because we still have to look at the work plan. So, and there's one thing I just want to raise here briefly before we come to this point. And this is just an indication because I see Becky and Martin are on our call. Becky and Martin, please be so kind when you review the this document, which was sent to you as well. There's a question on page 3. You see it under C, question for ICANN board liaison. So please be so kind, have a look at this, and if you can come back to us, we would appreciate it. So so the discussion which we had, thank you so much, Martin. So the discussion which we had was, would there be an option or a model possible that in the case sanctions apply to operators from a particular country who fall under the list of sanctions and they want to run a project or a project which shall be executed in a country which falls under a list of sanctions, shall there be a search for a solution? So I don't know who wants to introduce the topic briefly and then we can maybe have a quick exchange here. And otherwise, we have to come back to this question again when Sam is with us. So who would want to once you raise the question and want to make an argument. Hadia, followed by Sylvia, please.
I salute to Sylvia the introduction, but I just want to state my point on this. Definitely, solutions are required for organizations or communities that are subject to some sanctions. And they are entitled to solutions, and they might be able to get solutions. However, I think that our role in this group is only that it does not fall within our scope to try to find these solutions now. And the reason I'm saying this for is this will entitle either, you know, going around a certain law or finding some holes in so that they can go through. And actually, I don't think that this is our responsibility within this group. Whatever solution we choose, whether 1, 2, 3, or 4, definitely there will be jurisdictions or laws or something controlling this, something legal controlling this. And I feel that we as a group are not entitled to find any solutions now for that. But afterwards, during the implementation, it could be taken case by case. So depending on the case itself, the solution could be found. But for us, from now to determine, okay, this is how we are going to go around this, I don't see it that this falls within our scope. Thank you.
Thank you, Adia. I don't believe it's Erica, what I read from the email, that somebody was recommending that solution shall be found. I think there was more a concern and a question was raised. I don't think so somebody was recommending that solution must be found. And let's be clear, if you are on a list of U.S. sanctions, and if it's not clear, the sanction environment only targets particular military or other environments and are excluding certain environments, then of course there is no circumvention possible anyhow. It's just as straightforward as it is. But Sylvia, see you next on the list.
Thank you, Erica, and thanks, Sylvia, here for the record, and thank you for clarifying that the comment that I made on the mailing list is not about finding a solution. It's about if this group is going to write a recommendation that backs 100% the mechanism number one, and ICANN is in charge of managing this funding, this issue will be raised by the community at the community information sessions or when the application process opens. And there are eligibility issues that were probably or are not probably discussed at this point. And that might actually blow in the face of the board if we don't request an external legal opinion. I understand that the ICANN staff is very knowledgeable on the way that ICANN manages its own budget, but let's be clear that this is a whole different thing that ICANN has never done before, with budget coming from a different source that is staying put in one different pocket, in one different bucket that is going to be used in a different way. So the same way that we have request external opinions for a bunch of other issues, I don't really see the point of not giving that the benefit of an external opinion on how, for example, the Ford Foundation or the Rockefeller Foundation or other larger, big 501c3 organizations registered in the U.S. manage this issue. And maybe Sarah Berg has some information on it, and it's not actually a legal opinion, but more around how this is managed in the U.S. Of course, sanctions applied. I provided an example based on one of the arguments around sanctions that Australia apply, but those sanctions, as Erica mentioned, apply only to military, the military industry in that particular country in Myanmar. So Australia can invest in capacity building, in internet development, in access, in interconnection, in towers, in gender empowerment projects, all sorts of different things. So sanctions are important to take a look at because those are part of eligibility criteria, and that is part of the objective. And it's having a second opinion that is attached to the recommendations if we chose to support in the group recommends scenario number one. I think it's our responsibility to offer to the board also information that might actually put them in a complicated position with the community and give them some of the answers of how they are going to deal with that. And it's not about finding a solution. It's about preparing the ground for this mechanism to be well accepted. That was my point. Thank you, Erica. Exactly, Judith. So the U.S. gives aid to Myanmar.
Thank you so much for clarifying the points, Sylvia. Sometimes very difficult by email, actually, to have such kind of discussion on the likelihood that certain points are misunderstood are very, very high. John, I'm wondering, would you want to make a comment? Because I saw you replying in by email. So is this a point where you would want to make a comment, or do you rather prefer until we have another discussion when summer's around? Sorry for putting you on the spot, but I always like doing this so that we can have an informed debate. No? Okay. Jen, Hadia, do you want to add something?
I had a quick question. I had a quick question to Sylvia. So, why does she only tie this to mechanism number one? So, what about two, three, and four? Because also such problems could arise from the other mechanisms as well. We don't know yet. The only thing that we don't know yet. But why is she tying it only to mechanism number one? How are the others different?
You want to argue, answer, Sylvia?
Thank you, Erica. Well, I guess that even reinforces the idea of having an external legal opinion for the other mechanisms as well. They are all linked to ICANN in some way because ICANN will be the responsible agent for the management of the funds. But there are different ways in which each organization registered in different jurisdictions manages that. So that is something for consideration, how you manage that. The point that I made came after Carolina made the point about the new or recently announced sanctions to Venezuela, for example. The list of U.S. sanctioned countries is growing in a very complicated and fast manner. So dealing with this with an organization registered in the U.S. in such a volatile environment, it is important to understand. So that's why I'm asking for an external opinion, because I don't think that the ICANN staff will be in a good place if they are the only ones giving the advice. The community will ask for an external one at some point. So better to give it now. Thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia. This is Erica. So I have great sympathy for this because I think we have two points which are really definitely on the list where we need further legal advice, not questioning the U.S. law. We all understand the U.S. But there are certain topics one needs to look into. So this would be one, and the other one would be concerning the human rights issue which came up, where I believe there might be particular small legal advice. I don't think so. We are asking for a big opinion, just a standard practice for law firms. So it's not something complicated or expensive we are asking for. But I recommend the following so that we have an understanding between us. So again, we have time until next week, Friday. Send us your comments. And in the meantime, the leadership, I believe we will have a quick chat with some we'll get an understanding how we can do this. And then we have on the next call, hopefully some can be with us and we can have a more informed discussion about this topic. And everything which we, some can send us in writing ahead of the time and how she recommends from the legal team how to approach this topic, it would be good if we can receive this from her ahead of time. Is this an approach we can agree upon? I would like to, if there's not a new topic raised or somebody wants to raise, I'd love to conclude the discussion here because I still want to give Emily a little bit of time to summarize the key points which we decided upon today and then to move to the last item, which is the review of the work plan so that we at least have a few minutes left here. Carolina, is this a new topic you want to touch on or can we agree upon this? Oh, I see you, yes. Thank you so much. And Kavus dropped off the list. I assume, Kavus, you're supporting this as well. If you don't, just come back again and then I give you the floor. Otherwise, thank you so much. Okay, Emily, back to you.
Thanks, Erica. This is Emily Barbas from staff. So just to sum up where we are on these questions and next steps. So for the first few questions that are discussion questions for the CCWG, we're asking everyone to review those questions, share any additional thoughts and reflections by Friday of next week. So a full week to think about that some more. And then the leadership team will go back with those responses and try to just draft a summary of where we seem to stand, and everyone will have a chance to review that. For the additional questions, so that's in this document part B, C, and D, questions for ICANN org input, questions for board input, and questions for external expert input, we're asking for a slightly quicker turnaround so that we can get those questions out and hopefully get responses relatively quickly before, ideally before the next call. So we're asking if you have any comments about those questions. So you don't need to respond to those questions, just are they the right questions to ask? Is it okay that they're going to the folks that we're targeting? And we're asking for responses on that on Monday. So that'll be included in the notes. And we didn't have time today, and it probably would have been quite tedious to go through each and every one of those questions we're suggesting to submit outwards, but there should be an opportunity for everyone to review on their own time and provide input. So I think that's the summary of where we are there. And just as Erica said, for the sanctions issue, we will have more time to talk about that on the next call. So for the moment, we won't submit any questions externally. We'll have some time to talk about it, to refine what we want to ask and how we want to ask it, and then we'll be able to submit after that. So I think unless anyone has questions or comments about that, we'll wrap up this item and move on to the next one. I'll just pause for a moment. Okay. This is Emily Barbas from staff again, and I'm not seeing any comments or questions. So although there's still some discussion going on about the sanctions issue, so that's good that people are getting some initial thoughts and ideas out, and we'll make sure also that Sam is caught up with everything so that she can hit the ground running on the next call and engage with all of this. So I'm going to now just bring up the work plan briefly. And this is the proposed timeline that we shared last month. And the main thing to highlight here is that we're going to need to make some adjustments to the work plan, noting that we're seeking external expertise and ICANN org expertise and board expertise and potentially additional expertise. And that will obviously push our timelines out a little bit. But noting that input will help us to rank the mechanism will help us to identify pros and cons and finally answer the charter question. So the leadership team will be working on revising that timeline. And I just see a comment from Nandira who says, can we consider if some of the proceeds deposited in another country where ICANN has offices, then this would be a way to get around the sanctions for humanitarian reasons. And Nandira, I think, to be honest, I am not an attorney and not able to respond to that specific suggestion, but I think that that's something we can bring up again on the next call, and it's something that Sam can hopefully speak to a bit more, and hopefully we can use that suggestion as well to craft what additional feedback and input we need. But really appreciate the input, and it's helpful that everyone's sort of thinking and brainstorming a bit. So coming back to the work plan, essentially we'll be working on revising that and thinking about how we can still meet our goals, get the work done that we need to get done, and also accommodate the time that it's going to take to get the input we need to have informed answers to some of these questions. So are there any additional questions about the proposed timeline and work plan?
Thank you so much, Emily, for presenting this. I think what we have to do in the leadership team, and then we need the support of this group in our next week call, when we review it, we will have to look at it from the end goal. So the end goal is to present a initial report 3 weeks ahead of Barcelona. We shouldn't move away from the deadline. I'm really keen that we keep the deadline. So this means that we then have to add either another call, or we just, I find the point was quite efficient today. We just push through the agendas and put more into in our call. So we just are clear, this is what we want to achieve. So we set ourselves goals, this is what we want to achieve during this call, and we just ensure that we really do it. And only in the worst case scenario, we push an item to the next time. So if we just keep this in mind, that we don't forget this when we have our call, the leadership call, we may want to, I don't know when Marika is coming back, so we may have to schedule a call once she is back, all of us together, and then we can do the review of the work plan. If you just put it on our action item so that we don't forget this. Okay. There are no comments coming in concerning the work plan. I believe we have a support. Great. And then we only have to make one announcement, and this is the next call. Emily, I can't read this small. I know it's in 2 weeks' time, but if you would be so kind just to read the date and the time. I know it's never changing, but please be so kind just to read it.
Thanks, Erica. This is Emily from staff, and I'm just looking for it myself. Let's see. It should be. Julie, do you have it handy?
It's in 2 weeks.
The right place?
Yeah.
It should be 2 weeks from today, so that's the. One moment. That is Thursday the 9th, and we don't rotate times for this group, correct?
You don't change. It's 14 UTC.
Yeah, so it's the 9th at 14 UTC Thursday.
Okay. Thank you so much, Emily and team. Thanks so much for all the great help. And well done, Emily, for your first time. So was really well executed. Thank you so much. There's one hand raised. Sylvia, you have 1 point.
Sorry, the sound break. And I didn't hear if it, you said the 9th?
Yes,
hi,
Emily
Sylvia.
Said the 9th.
Let's Emily from staff. Yep, that's Thursday the 9th. It's 2 weeks from today at the same time, so 14 UTC.
Well, I just wanted to note my apologies then because I will be traveling to the APRIGF in Vanuatu. So you will catch me on a plane more likely or sort of I will see if I can join, but we'll complete my reviews and send information by email if I can't join the meeting. Thank you.
Sure. Sure. Thank you so much for letting us know. Great. Then I wish everybody have a good time, have a good weekend, and enjoy the summertime as long as it lasts, wherever you are. And we back to Julie. Are you concluding to our today's call, Julie?
Yes. Thank you very much, Erica.
Thank you so much.
Today's call has been concluded.